Welcome back to season six of Sister Brunch. This is the only podcast that shares the stories of Black women and gender expansive people thriving in film, TV, and media. I am your host, Fanchen Cox.
And I am your co-host, Sean Pipkin-West, and we're really excited to tell you about today's guests. I wanted to bring these two filmmakers on because they both work together on the groundbreaking show Act Your Age, yes, which is now showing on Netflix.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show. Reminds me of the sitcoms I watched in the 90s, and it's Generation X, so I love it, I love it, I love it.
It's so good. It's so good. So Act Your Age stars the legends, Tisha Campbell, Kim Whitley, and Yvette Nicole Brown. And to quote a review on IMDb, it is grown living single. And I just thought that was perfect. It was also recently nominated for a Humanitas Prize for an episode that deals with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I loved that they addressed this. I also have to say, as a woman in her 50s, so much gratitude to our guests for telling this story, because I recently celebrated my menopause day. I hadn't realized that, and too many of us didn't know this, that after 1 year of not getting your period, you are officially in menopause. One time I went through 11 months and got it, but this time it was real and it was very recent. So really seeing this show has been so uplifting and lovely. I'm so appreciative of our
guests. Congratulations, Fanchen.
Thank you, Sean.
Act Your Age was created by our guest, Allison Faust, and the pilot episode was directed by Mornike. So they both have a lot of shows and films that they've worked on, and shows that you have watched and loved, just to name a few. Everybody Hates Chris, A League of Their Own, the Amazon series, Family Reunion, The Neighborhood, and Grey's Anatomy, just to name a few. But it's literally like 500 CVS receipts their IMDb credits, okay? So without further ado, I want to welcome Allison Faust and Mornike Joella Evans.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're so proud to have you on.
I was going to say, welcome to the Menopause Club.
Thank you. I think, right? Oh, my goodness. So we love to start our show by asking our guests to take us through their journeys. Allison, I know you grew up in the CPT in Compton. My husband is also from Compton. So after this, actually, I need to see if maybe y'all went to school together while you were there. You're a mom. You've done just some amazing things. You were found, or I guess that's how they say it, discovered by one of the Wayans, Keenan Ivory Wayans. So please just tell us your journey of how you ended up creating this beautiful show and doing all the other things that you do as well.
Well, like you said, I was discovered by Keenan when I was doing a radio show, 92.3 The Beat, John London and the House Party. And he heard one of my sketches, and it was at the time that he was just starting his late night show. So the funny thing is, I never thought I'd be doing this for a living, but I listened to those sketches on my commute and happened to fax someone, and they were doing it for a month, and Keenan called. And literally from there, we then did his talk show, and right after he called, he said he was doing Scary Movie. We did that. Then Damon said he needed a woman for my wife and kids, and it just kind of snowballed from there. It was through the people I met and the people I got cool with. And, you know, I met Wanda Sykes on Keenan's late night show and did a couple of her shows. And it just I literally fell into the business. You know,
my goodness.
My idea was that when I retired from Cal State Long Beach, where I had my main job, real job, I was going to write a novel. Like, I always knew I was a writer, but it didn't even dawn on me that Hollywood was an option. I didn't know who wrote these shows, but I didn't think it was a little Black girl from Compton.
Right, right.
You know? So, and once I got my foot in the door, I just kept working, and it kind of stuck. And then Bounce called about doing a show for them and asked me to pitch on it, and I did. And that's how we got to Actor Age.
Wow. So did they already have an idea of the show, or they called you and said, what show would you like to create?
All they told me was that they wanted three friends of a certain age who lived in the DMV and were well off. And I figured by a certain age, I would hope they would be, you know.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
it gives us more room for comedy if they are, you know, and yes. I'm not opposed to the struggle either. Mm. I did some freelance episodes for my friend Renata Shepherd for Good Time around the same time. So I've been both places, you know, so yes. We can find funny everywhere.
Yes.
But this is true.
For Actor Age, it was just fun to play these friends who've known each other through everything, the good and the bad times. And I think that's what people responded to.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Mornike, I would like to talk about your journey real quick, or have you talk about, because your journey is kind of unusual. And I have to say, because you produce, you're into music, and and you're one of the rare breed that films multicam shows as well as single camera. And I would also love for you to talk about the difference of what that is. So let's hear your journey, if you can, briefly. Let's hear it.
My journey, I actually started as a writer, but as a journalist. So that's what I was studying in undergrad. I watched, you know, in Live in Color. I have so many episodes memorized. So it's just, you know, amazing to be working with Allison. But it really wasn't until it was in the late 90s, in the early 90s, after I worked as a journalist, like I was at the Washington Post writing, that I covered The Hill, that I decided that I wanted to go to film school and that I was going to be a filmmaker. That's when it dawned on me that you could, like Allison said, it was a career. You know what I mean? With Spike and all the things that was going on. And I remember in college, someone said, one of my professors was like, why don't write a script for a different world? And I was like, oh, they write though? You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I started. But my first television gig was on Rap City. Because I knew people. I was in D.C. I'm from the D.C. area. Okay. And so I had friends that worked there, and someone fell out and they needed a producer. So I kind of made that my internship for my, you know, for my grad school. And I produced Rap City. But then at the same time, I remember one of my film colleagues was like, I talked to our professor and they said, we could get a job as a PA in television. I was like, what? I was so excited. I didn't know that was like a regular normal thing. So my first PA gig was on a movie called Deep Impact. So I was kind of like doing both. And I loved it. We were, you know, 12-hour days. That's how you know you love what you're doing. Like,
yes,
you can do it for that long. And so cut to, you know, I came to LA almost 19 years ago, but I really had to start over from working at MTV News, and I produced a lot of award shows, red carpet, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to tell this story because I was trying to transition into directing scripted, and there's not a lot of people in unscripted that know scripted. I had a best friend that worked at TV1. I had just met Meg DeLoach, and they were doing this show called Burn Again Virgin. And that you worked on that, Allison, right? You were like, and you directed. Yeah. And I remember I had just done a show for this this Black and Sexy TV. They were like the online.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was similar. And so I was like, oh, I want to work on that show. I want to direct. Didn't understand. They had probably already picked the directors, but that's kind of, so I had been wanting to work with Allison and Renata forever. And that was like at the beginning. So cut to how I got into multicam. It was really Meg DeLoach. I had only done single cam of the films I'd done and the different projects. And she had been following my work and looking at my reel, and she was one of the few people I knew other than Claire Brown, who I did God Complex with. She had worked with on Girlfriends. And so she saw me do everything. And like, yes, she was one of the first people in Scripted who saw that I could do, you know, all of those things. And so she vouched for me to Meg, you know, because it's a small world, but you don't realize it. And Meg reached out to me on email and said she had a new show starting on Netflix. And she was looking for directors. Did I know any wink emoji? And I was like, is this it? Is this my chance? And so I'm, you know, all trying to act cool and calm, but sent her my reel again, you know, raised my hand. I shadowed on the show. That's how I had to learn multicam.
Hi, this is Sean Pipkin West, and you're listening to the Sister Brunch podcast. You can support Sister Brunch by following and interacting on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast and by leaving a review on Apple or Spotify. You can watch full video episodes on youtube.com/trujulomedia, and that's TRUJULO Media. And you can watch highlights on TikTok at Trujulo Media.
You know,
amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And so then how did it happen that you two, was it Allison? Okay. So when Actor Age started happening, and it started at Bounce, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It started at Bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, I didn't work on In Living Color. I worked on Keenan's late night show.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure so nobody calls you guys and goes, she wasn't there.
She a damn lie.
I would love for Keenan to call us and say, she.
Right. Yeah, you
should. Correct us, Keenan.
I wish he would.
When I started on Actor Age, I knew the cast I had, and I knew the feel I wanted. So I told the producers and my agents and whoever would listen, I said, I want women of color directing this show. Yes. Bring me some Black women directors. And Morenike was on that list. And that you were getting popular then because we could only get you for the pilot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What?
I that's some kind of cosmic divineness because I really only had 1 week. That was the year that I did 17 episodes of television year.
What?
And I had 1 week available and I was so disappointed because I was like, I'm not going to be able to do Act Your Age. It was like the best script I had read in really the whole time in terms of pilot script. It was so good. It resonated with me. And I remember being so disappointed because when I talked with Allison and the team, it was a regular like meeting. And I was like, we didn't talk about the pilot. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I didn't get it, but hopefully next time. And the funny thing is my agent, she just was very matter of fact about it. She's like, okay, so we got the pilot and you're going to start on that. I was like, wait a minute. What? So it, you know, it was a great blessing and I'm so glad that I got the opportunity. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a blessing.
Yeah.
And more. Oh, go ahead, Allison. Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, we don't. Well, I don't talk a lot about the work and the technical stuff. Like, I want to get to know you. Like, I've researched what you've done before I get on an interview or whatever. And I just want to know, is this somebody I want to spend all week with? That's
it. Right. You know? That makes so much sense. Yeah.
It does. I love it. I just have to point out that for you two, Morenike, you mentioned Spike, and Allison, you mentioned Keenan Ivory Wayans, and at that time, those were our role models, were men. Now you two are the role models. Like, young Black girls have you two as role models.
Yes.
They can name you, right?
Crazy.
And it's just
crazy.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
This
I love to see this. I love to see this. Morenike, can you explain to our listeners, because you were in both multicam sitcoms as well as half hour, an hour single cameras, right? Mm-hmm. Can you explain what the difference is?
Yeah, I mean, the big
difference
is time.
Like, you can give us examples of the shows, right?
Yeah, okay.
Multicam
so
and then
it's time and energy to me. So
Multicam
that I've done, my first one was Family Reunion. I've done the iCarly reboot. I've done How I Met Your Father. I've done Bunked. I've done The Neighborhood. Just to name a few, because I can't remember all of them, but you have 1 week. You have you have 5 days to get that show done. Whereas in, let's say, a half hour single cam, you have 2 weeks. 1 week is prep and doing all the meetings and everything, and then you shoot for 5 days. In multicam, you got to kind of prep before you show up, because on day one, you hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. You are in your production meeting, you're in your table read, and then you're rehearsing. And by the second day, you're showing the entire show, not just a few scenes, the entire show to your showrunners so that they can give you notes, see how it is. And then the next day, you're showing it to the execs. And then the next day, 2 days, you're shooting. Even though I know the schedule is a little different for Act Your Age, that's the, in general, what it is. It's fast, but it's also the energy of being able to laugh, knowing comedy, knowing what's funny, knowing the rhythm of it, which is very fun, and knowing the cameras. One of the things as a multicam director, you know, when we're doing the rehearsals, I'm blocking it for the cameras then. So it's like, okay, she's on A, she's on X. This will be pan over C, wide shot, da, 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 da. And so it's all at once.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. So, see, when we get to Let's Talk Tech segment, I'm like, just like you just said all the things. I'm like, I didn't know there was an X cam. So I gotta hear all about that.
That's the fourth one, right, Monique? Yeah. Yeah. That's the fourth one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's great.
So this is a question that is hard, but we know our listeners really want to understand this. And again, especially because we want to kind of inspire young girls, you know, younger women to enter into the industry. And so we'd like to talk financials to the extent that you are comfortable. Allison, I'm curious for you again, because you, Act Your Age started off on Bounce, and Bounce is created for Black content. I think I just made the cutoff age, because I think it's like 25 to 54. So I'm like, it's still for me, but
you're still there.
I am.
You can right? still watch.
Exactly. I can, right? I can. But Allison, are you comfortable talking about one, just, what you get paid? And I know there's often scale, so are you able to negotiate that? It can be ballparks, or, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, but both, like, kind of what the funds look like as a writer and then also as a show creator.
Or, well, maybe
go ahead,
Allison, if it may be easier, like what a average, like, staff writer makes as opposed mm-hmm. to a veteran, like, co-EP that's been, like, has like 20 shows under the belt, maybe something yes. like that, if that makes it easier.
Well, look, I'm open and honest about it. I don't make enough. Right. You know, right. whatever they right. pay you is not enough, because this gig yeah. is 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, it's no time off, because mm-hmm. mentally you're always there and you're always creating. I will say now with my experience, I make a lot more than I used to. But studios and streamers aren't paying as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. And when I got to this level of running a show, an executive producer, I was looking forward to it when I was a young staff writer. Like, how can they make that much money a week? Like, that's insane.
Yes.
But you get there and you go, hey, that much money. Mm-hmm. The work is hard. And then again, like, I have the paper here because I knew you guys were going to ask. There's a certain per week, like, I want to say, and I should know this. Okay, let's just guesstimate that it's like $7,000 a week. Sounds mm-hmm. like a lot mm-hmm. of money. That's the minimum for an executive producer. So you think, even if I got that, that's good money. And then I get on a thread with some other showrunners, and I won't talk about their money because I'm not really supposed to be talking about the thread. But you realize when they're complaining about their money.
And you're like,
can I curse on this show?
Please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes, you can.
I love you. Can.
Yes. I was like, what the fuck? Now I'm mad at everybody. What?
Right.
Yes.
You know? And I have good reps who literally fight for me to get the most money. But the best advice I got was from somebody who was like a co-EP, and it was save your money.
Okay.
Because unless you're incorporated, and even if you are incorporated, taxes are coming for you.
Yes.
You know, and it's not just our job. It's every job and every person that's working on a show has to save. You saw what the strike did to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, how long we had to be unemployed.
Thank you for that, Allison.
Thank you.
Wernika, I'd love to ask you, because you, even though you've been in this industry for a long time, when it comes to directing television, you know, you just got started right before the pandemic. So
yes.
What have you seen change as far as the work, the money, and everything, like with the pandemic, the global pandemic, and then
the strikes. Yeah.
And how has that affected you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm affected. It's, you know, two things. First, I just, like, when I got my first episode, I was struggling, you know, freelance, trying to make it, two kids. You know, from what Allison said, I think, like, on Netflix, this was before streaming, I think I made $15,000 an episode. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But after taxes, I wasn't set up right. I didn't have a corporation. I didn't have an agent. So at least I didn't have to do that. But it was like $6,000. And that was my only gig until maybe, let's say that was March. And then I got another directing gig in October. Right. So, no, and I didn't really have people that could tell me what to do. I have been finding my way. Until recently, I'm starting to get people who were kind of helping, but I have been just kind of finding my way. So that's why I did 17 episodes in a year, because I'm like, I have to, like, first of all, I need to take every opportunity, you know what I mean? And, you know, trying to catch up on life. And then I was like, okay, I'm burnt out. I need to, like, put a little space in between. Yeah. But that was not the right time to do it because this was after COVID. Financial. And then the burnout was right before the strike, which I just, I was like, it's not going to happen. They're going to get a deal, you know, it only makes sense. And so it's been, I mean, if I'm being very candid, I remember myself and several other directors that were kind of newer, meaning 5 years in, you feel like you're back at square one, like just trying to get your footing, you know? So I'm here now. I directed Grey's Anatomy in February. So I had two episodes right after the strike. I had a Disney episode in November or December, and then I had an episode in January. That's all I've had. Like this whole, you know, because the other thing, you know, from what Allison is saying is like, I love television. I'm a junkie. And so I'm like, I found Tubi and I'm watching News Radio because I used to love that show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So funny. 22 episodes. Five or six seasons. 22 episodes, right?
Yes.
So now what's happening is there's 6 to 10 episodes of television. And because everyone was out and is trying to come back at the same time, I'm still considered a newbie. So a lot of the directing gigs are going to people. It should, you know, but they've been in the business longer. But what's also happening is they're, especially in multicam, they're getting like 5 of the 8 episodes. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's, you know, I recently said this to a colleague, because I also feel really good right now. And I said, the shift is a gift. And for me, it's a gift because I've learned so much about this. I'm learning about my money. Thank God for residuals. But also thank God for another career as a producer. When COVID happened, I produced The Essence Fest from my living room. on something like this.
Did all the interviews,
set them all up. So, and they had a virtual one, you know, and right now I'm doing an award show, you know, and producing an award show. So I'm great. And I'm writing. I'm back to writing, which is what, you know, was my, So it's like, we'll see what happens, but it's just a reminder to like use all your gifts and, you know, It is a gig economy for most directors, unfortunately, and writers, you know, that's what they're talking about. But for us, definitely, we just hop. You know, we're never, unless we're in a producing director, we're never like just on a show.
Just one show.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when I started, it was just network jobs. So if you got a job that season, you were good. But if you didn't in the off season, you just had to wait again until staffing season. You know, but when we were talking about 22 episodes, when we were doing Wife and Kids, we do 22 episodes. And then they were like, could you give us three more? And we were so burnt out. It was like, do we have to?
And now you're like,
can you imagine?
Yeah. Now you're like, yes, please.
Do you want three more? I got three more ready to go.
Right.
I'm in my pocket.
We can keep going. Right. Yeah, you
know. And I was blessed with Actor Age because they gave me 16 episodes right off the bat.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Oh, they gave me right off the bat. Yes. So,
and 16. And also, let's think about that. That is rare. 16 for a new show?
Yeah.
That's rare.
They knew they had a gem. That's the thing. They knew it.
Such a great show.
Get you paid what you deserve. It is. It's so good. Hi, sisters and siblings. We hope you're loving our guest this season as much as we do. And if you do, we hope that you will share our podcast with a friend by hitting the share button on this episode. You can also subscribe to the Trujillo Media YouTube channel to see all of our previous episodes, including our co-host for this season, Ms. Sean Pipkin West. You can subscribe over there and you will never miss an episode. And when you review us on Apple or Spotify, go ahead and tell us what you loved about our guests. What was your favorite thing they said during an episode? Or even tell us what you like to have for brunch or what you would tell your younger self. All right, let's get back to our guests, Morenike and Allison. Yeah. All right, so let's move into our Let's Talk Tech segment since we just finished talking about big tech. But in this case, we want to share with our listeners some concept, terminology, you know, anything, piece of equipment that you use when you're doing your job that someone who has not been on set or has not done what you do, maybe they don't know that. So
like to make it work more efficient or just presentation wise better, anything.
Yeah.
Right. I think, so I'll say this, I'll say that a really great director, by the time you get on set, it looks very easy. You know what I mean? But it's not. So prep is really, really important. Yes. Okay. I use Scriptation and Keynote, and I, you know, draw out the blocking and where everyone is. And I have alternative options if, you know, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. So Keynote.
What's Keynote? I don't know it.
So
see?
Keynote is on it's okay. on Apple. And it's kind of like slides a little bit, but they have all these cool icons so you can like have cars and figures and cameras like it helps me figure out blocking or like, okay, this is where the camera's going, this is what I'm doing. And then I use Scriptation, especially great for multicams because you get a script change. You know, after that first rehearsal, you're getting a new script and it might not come until sometimes 1 a.m, but you've got to rehearse the next day starting at 8 or 9 or whatever. And so it just translates the old script into the new, but keeps all your notes. That's the part. It keeps all your notes. And so then you can just adjust one thing instead of having to, you know, start over. Or sometimes I see, because some people are old school. I was very nervous about it because I like to write, but I use my Apple Pencil. But some people still have like the associate directors, the camera coordinators, they'll just keep their script. And because it after a while, it's like not the words, it's just what are we doing, where are they, and they'll just change the one thing. So and I'll just say for multicam, it's 4 cameras, A, B, C, and X.
What happened to the D? What happened?
What the D? Sounds too much like the B.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it.
And then here's the thing that like clicked it all in for me. And it was Eric Dean Seaton who told me when I was on Family Reunion, he was like, A and X are your close-ups, B and C are your wides. I was like, oh, because I was just like, you could just use any anyway. Yeah. So that's it. You know, they're your close-up or your two-shot, and then B and C are your wides.
So it's so that helps you figure,
yes. And you can move them around, but it helps you, you know, figure out what your coverage is, you know, and how you want things to work. So that's a, no one else told me. He was like, oh yeah, you know, so.
I just love I just love visualizing you being a boss on set and being like, because even when you talk about you're the person that decides what camera captures what, right? Like, yeah.
It's fun.
I
want
to see it. I want to be a fly on the wall to see that. It's beautiful. And it's fun, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, it's also very collaborative. And I just have to say, working with Allison, you know, sometimes you go on sets and you got to stand tall, but you're kind of a little scared, I'll be honest, because you don't know how things are going to work. You don't know how people work. And you're trying, for me, I'm always trying to honor the script. And working with Allison was like, she knows her shit, obviously, but she's very easygoing about it. Mm. And if she wants something, she'll say. And if I'm not, she'll be like, oh, yeah, we can change that. So on some shows, if an actor like is like, I don't feel comfortable with it, a showrunner might be like, well, don't change my words or whatever. You know, that's an ego thing, really. Mm. But Allison was like, oh, yeah, that's no problem. Okay, you know. But if it's something else, she'd be like, oh, no, we really need that. So it's very collaborative and not in a combative way, which sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, as Black women, we have to be nice, right? I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah. Sometimes.
But, you know, but anyway, exactly. Okay.
I mean, no, I love that, Allison. Are you at the point where you're like, no, you know what? I don't need to be anymore.
No, you know, I'm nice just because that's how I was raised. You know, my mother always said, talk to people how you want them to, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. So look, if I need to be,
exactly,
I can get big because, you know, that's the thing as a woman, especially when you're in the position of being the boss over everybody and something's not getting done. But I always believe in treating people with respect, with respect. And if I have a problem, I'll pull you aside. Yeah. I don't need to get big in front of people unless you try to get big on me. You know, I'm a girl from Compton. Both my parents were in the military.
If it needs to come out, you don't want to be mean to me
because I can be meaner. It's like, let's not go there. I really don't want to go there. But listen to Morenike, you know, as long as I've been doing this, I've never heard it broken down like that as far as the cameras. And it's one of the reasons I've never directed multicam, because I'm a little intimidated by it.
Well, now you're about to.
Well, when I directed on Born Again Virgin, it was a different thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, it was totally different.
Single cam, different tone. I knew the coverage and I learned on the go. And it was like I was kind of thrown into it because I needed to be. We were short directors. And it was like, I'll try it. I've been sitting on set forever.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so I'm glad to hear that. Right now I'm cool sitting behind the camera and getting good directors. But and as far as technical stuff for us, that didn't really kick in till the pandemic. I mean, as far as writers are concerned, final draft, you know, it starts and ends there. Some writers do like keep their script on their iPad, and I'll do that to notate it or that kind of thing. But I still like having paper and being able to write a note real quick.
Wow, okay. Yes.
Oh, I still like having a paper script and folding the pages and going back to something. But yeah, with the pandemic, I think that gave us more technology than we were used to having.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think you mentioned one of the programs before we were on air, Trello or
Trello.
Like
Trello. Trello. I love Trello. Do you? Yeah. I love it. That's so funny. I make Sean and Tasha get on Trello. I love Trello. You do that. But this is not, I'm not the guest this time, so it's okay. I look at Tasha.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I've had script supervisors, and since we're doing all this online, on Zoom or whatever, script supervisors and writer's assistant debate on which program was which, because you get the cards.
It's
and
a lot. Yeah.
Sierra, you know, it's a lot, but we made it work. Mm-hmm. We made it work. Yes. And the one time I was really grateful for Zoom or whatever we had, I don't even know if it was Zoom, but my daughter went into labor during the filming of Actor Age, and I had to go and babysit my older granddaughter, and, you know, still want to be on set because my youngest grandbaby took her precious time coming, and we were in production. So it was great that I could still be on set via that and talking to Renata Shepherd, who was my second, and keep up and give notes and stuff like that. Yes. So I'm very thankful for the technology we do have, because I know it kept a lot of us working during the pandemic, and that we're still able to use. You know, I could save gas in my car if I don't have to drive places to, you know, meet with wonderful people like you.
Oh my goodness. I remember when I was first starting, and my agent sent me, I had like 2 meetings every day. I had my Ford Edge. The AC didn't work, so I kept trying to schedule them in the morning so I wouldn't be hot going into, but just going into all of those meetings. And now you can just, you know, nobody's really going back to full in person unless you really have to, you know.
Right. Yes. And this is how old I am. They used to have to deliver scripts.
Oh,
if I wanted to send a script to my agent, it was on paper.
I remember that.
With a messenger or something.
Yeah. Oh. Or PA, an office PA would have to go around.
Look, email is like the Jetsons to us.
Right.
We are living in the future. I just have to hit a button. And then as soon as I send it, I see a typo that I made. Like, and it's gone. You know, I mean, come on. I'm from the Ice Age. I remember when my daughter used to have that job of dropping off scripts.
Wow. Right. I remember the headshots. You had the hard copy headshots. You'd send them all around town.
Yeah.
We could talk to both of you forever. I mean, we need to do another one of these because I'm so proud to have you both on Sister Brunch. But we will get to our signature question, which is that you are sitting down to a Sister Brunch with your younger self. What are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
Wow. My younger self is eating every carb in the row.
Remember and, when you could.
And strong coffee and a mimosa with no orange juice. Very little orange juice.
Just the champagne.
Just the champagne, yes.
Now, older me is having an omelet, decaf coffee, and some orange juice in my mimosa, but we still having a drink.
Yes. I love mimosas. Yes.
Yeah. And what I would tell her. Oh, I'm sorry. What I would
advise. No. Yeah. Go ahead, advice. Allison. Advice to your younger self.
Love yourself. Be patient. And you're not crazy when you imagine all those different worlds and places and have those conversations in your head. Because you will find your ilk out there, a bunch of other nerdy people who love words as much as you do and can imagine and see the vision the same way you do.
That's beautiful.
The little girl I see, she's like 7 or 8. And she would be having a Shirley Temple, lots of bacon, pancakes, plus biscuits. And it would be so fun. The sad part is I would also be having bacon, pancakes, even though I shouldn't be. And I probably would have, I don't love champagne, but I'd probably have a margarita or a wine. And I think what I would say to her is, you know, it's really similar. It's, I think one of the things is like, trust your light and your energy. Like, because sometimes when you exude a certain energy, it really upsets people for some yes. reason. You know what I mean? And yes. so it makes you yes. doubt. Why are you happy? Why are you this? Why are you that? Uh-huh. So just trust like who you are inside. And also, I think I did it, but I would just say trust like your inner voice and your gut. Yeah. I think I sometimes delayed it, but every time I followed like a thought or a belief, even if it felt crazy, mm-hmm. it paid off. So just like trust it, even when people are like, how can you da da da. Just keep going.
That's it. That's
keep
a
going.
Good
keep going.
That's what I'd say. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Body in motion stays in motion.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And not just to my younger self, but to young women now, don't edit yourself. Don't do it. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, sure, if you're about to cuss somebody out for no reason, maybe do that. But if you have an idea, especially in comedy, if you think it's funny, say it. You yes. know, don't. The only thing I regret are the things I didn't say.
Oh, mm-hmm.
you know? Yes. That's all.
Yes.
Just yes. go for it. Pitch it.
I would love to add something that I say a lot because I teach classes and I just spoke at some other thing. And for the creatives out there now that are trying to break in, a lot, just remember you're not asking for permission. I think that's really important for people to remember, because a lot of times, like, people will say, I have this really great idea. Should I write it? You're not asking for permission to be creative. You're not asking for permission to pursue your dreams. And I think once we get past that, you know, wanting to be validated or okayed by others, we can really like really push through and go far.
Yes.
And everybody's on their own timeline. Like there's yes. nothing, you know, we
Absolutely.
All, you know, yeah, fast, start, slow. We're all on our own timelines.
I didn't start till I was in my 30s. I think I was my Jesus year, like 33 yeah. or something when yes. I got in fully into it. Yeah.
In oh my first DGA episode, 48?
Yes.
48?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There you go.
There you yeah. go.
Never so, too late.
47.
I'm so glad you mentioned that you do classes for every, I mean, a couple things we want to say to our listeners. This will be out for Black History Month. Actor mm-hmm. Age will still be available for you to watch. I'm going to just Yay. Put it out there that season two will be happening. And
yes.
I'm going to just say that.
Let it
so
be.
Season
Let it
two
be.
Will
Say it.
Be
That
happening.
Will be at season two.
Support
yes.
this.
Amen.
Support this show. It is so necessary and needed. Yes. Visit both of these women. We'll make sure we have all of your socials up to share. And yes. we're so honored that you joined us on Sister Brunch.
Thank
we
you all so,
honored. So
Thank you for having
much.
Us.
Thank you
this
so much. It's been
so
really great.
Beautiful. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Season 6 of the Sister Brunch Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps support the podcast.
We appreciate your follows on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast, where you can also find your community of Black women and gender expansive people. We post different industry opportunities over there, and we keep you updated on our past guests. Watch, comment, share, and subscribe to our videos at youtube.com/Trujillo Media. And we are also on TikTok at Trujillo Media. Sister Brunch is brought to you by Trujillo Productions and was created by Anya Adams, Christabel Nciabwadi, and me, Fanchon Cox.
Our producer for Season 6 is Tasha Rogers. Sister Brunch is recorded on the unceded territory of the Tongva and Chumash people in Los Angeles, California. Thanks for listening, following, reviewing, and subscribing. And we'll talk to you next week.